This is Jim Inkster, and glad to have veteran actor Michael O'Neill with us. He will soon be seen as Larry Mills in the highly anticipated new NBC drama series Council of Dads, as Chaplain Kendricks in the critically acclaimed feature film Clemency, which won the Sundance Film Festival Grand Jury Prize, and Senator Mitchell Chapin in Season 2 of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan on Amazon. So he is a busy actor. He's been with us before, and congratulations on your continuing success, Michael O'Neill.
Thanks so much, Jim. It really has been a wonderful time, you know, diverse, sort of interesting characters and projects. So, you know, Alan Alda once said to me, where an actor's concerned, above all else, be lucky. And I have been.
Well, you have been in a number of major productions. Last time we talked with you, it was when Dallas Buyers Club was just getting going, and that turned out to be a huge film.
Yes, yeah, which we shot in Louisiana, by the way. Yes, it was an extraordinary experience to shoot a film of that depth and dimension and quality. And I don't know, I think maybe we had 21 days to shoot that film.
Wow.
Yeah, that was, and obviously it worked out very well for both Jared Leto and Matthew McConaughey. All of us, really.
You mentioned Jared Leto and Matthew McConaughey, who won the Academy Award. You've worked with Halle Berry. Who are some of the most memorable people, actors, you have been affiliated with?
You know, Jim, Al Pacino, because I learned so much from him, and there was such generosity. And sometimes there are actors that you work with, you really don't have to do anything. If you just pay attention to them, they will make you real, you know. And we did a film in the late 80s called Sea of Love. And I remember he missed a flight to stay in Toronto and do my coverage. The camera turned around on me and, you know, they could have had the script supervisor read. And I said, nope, this is ours. So I learned a lot from him. And that was important to me. But, you know, Bobby Duvall and Michael Caine, just because they're the gold standard of character actors, and to watch the commitment with which they go at their work. But then I think of, you know, the character actors I've worked with that people don't know, Mike Panuski and some of the others that just, they're the day-to-day guys that you rely on, that when they walk on the screen, the post drops in. You just know, okay, we're real and we're here.
Well, some of your credits, including Dallas Buyers Club, J. Edgar, Green Zone, Transformers, Secondhand Lions, Traffic, Sea of Love, Sea Biscuit.
Yeah.
Traffic was with Steven Soderbergh, our Baton Rougean, whose birthday was yesterday. I'm sure that was quite an experience. And another film that won, I think it was an Academy Award winner as well.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. There have been a few that I've, you know, Sea Biscuit was a nominee. And, you know, I want to thank Steven's mom and dad for having him in Louisiana. You know, my dad was born in New Orleans. I don't know if you and I ever talked about that. He was born on Arabella Street in New Orleans.
Wow.
And so I have a connection there. But Stephen was fascinating to work with. You know, he just the way he shoots, the fact that camera's on his shoulder and he's editing while he goes. And it's a wonderful process for an actor to be involved in, because you better be on your toes. You don't know what's going to end up there or not. Yeah, but I've been very, very fortunate with the projects. You know, I don't think, Jim, I have great range, but the range that I get to work in, I try to be as honest as I possibly can, and that seems to have worked out in some of those projects.
Michael O'Neill, our guest, has a degree in economics from Auburn. In fact, you were their winter 2019 commencement speaker. That's quite an honor.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was an honor, and I don't know if you knew this, Jim, but my daughter graduated that day, my oldest daughter, and so to have the opportunity to speak to her outgoing class was beyond the honor. It sort of touched on the sacred for me, and, you know, I'm proud of my Tigers. I'm also proud of your Tigers. they were so good and so awesome, and you know, sometimes you get hit in the mouth and you got to come back. And that was a tough game. You know, they didn't flinch. They never blinked. They just kept coming.
You're right about that. They had quite a season and one of the great teams in college football history. But, you know, Auburn won the title 10 years ago, and fans being the way they are, they expect you to win the next year. And it's hard.
Oh,
it's hard
yeah.
to keep doing it.
It is. It's a tough expectation to live up to. but it certainly is nice to have that trophy in the athletic department.
It is. Now, Michael, I've heard a lot of commencement speeches, and some of them are very good, but some people who do it a lot get nailed. I remember once Tim Russert gave a speech, and he had given the same speech so many times that the graduates were reading with him as he was giving his own speech because he did not alter. Yeah, not, ouch. What did you say that might be something that we haven't heard through 1,000 commencement addresses when you address the grads at Auburn?
Well, you know, I tried to approach it from what in my experience would be useful to them. And I told them that the two most important things that were unexpected teachers for me when I left Auburn with a degree in economics and went to California, Auburn never said to me, you can take this degree and be an expert in anything. But it did say that I could take my tenacity and my ability to learn, and I could make my way if I was willing to work hard. And so the thing I tried to leave them with is that the unexpected teachers for me were no, because I heard it so much. You know, no, you're not going to make it. No, we don't want you for this part. No, that was a nice audition, but no, you're not what we're looking for, or just no. And some of those no's are good because you have to learn where you need to improve. What it'll give you ballast. It'll force you to address the things that need to be addressed, and it'll force you to define your own worth. You know, somebody else can decide if they're going to hire you. Somebody else can decide what they're going to pay you, but only you get to define what you're worth. And I thought they were important to me. And the other things were mistakes because I made so many of them as a young actor, and I didn't want them to miss either the values of those two teachers. At least I thought they were important to me.
When did you first go to Hollywood?
1974. I left Auburn and got in my car and drove to I knew not where into a career that I you know, Jim, I didn't know anything about acting when I got out there. That's why I say when Alan Alda said, above all else, be lucky, he certainly was talking about me.
Right. I remember Leonard Nimoy said once he was working out there as a cab driver, and he picked up then Senator John Kennedy at LAX and brought him to his hotel, and Kennedy asked him what he wanted to do, and he says, I want to be an actor, but I fear there are just too many people trying to do the same thing. And Kennedy said, there's always room for another good one. And Leonard Nimoy followed his advice, and you've done very well. And I believe that one of your early mentors was an actor many people were probably familiar with, Will Gear.
Yes, he was. Will was my, strong mentor, and honestly, Jim, still is. I still hear things that Will said to me as a young man, one of which at my age now, he used to say, son, I see you. You're anxious to make your mark. I know that, but I'll tell you this. It's not the getting there you'll look back on. It's the road going that you'll look back on and cherish. And I'm just, far enough in the fourth quarter now to start looking back over my shoulder. And I'm just now beginning to understand what he meant. It's been satisfying working with a lot of these people and a lot of varied projects. And I'm so glad Mr. Nimoy took that advice because, gracious, he was one of our, stalwarts and a decent man. You know, you appreciate people who bring a talent, but also a character. Their own character. It's funny, you mentioned clemency before, and the performance that Alfre Woodard gave in that film, I know Alfre, so I know that there's a moral compass in her that's, when she steps into a room, the room defers. And it is because she's talented, I think, but it's even more than that, it's because of the person she is, the character that she brings, her personal character. And I admire that a lot.
What about your role as Chaplain Kendricks?
You know, a chaplain is always the last to sit with a condemned. And, the film is, we tried not to say pro or con death penalty. What we tried to do, Jim, was say what happens to the people who touch it, to the people who are obliged to carry it out. And that's the warden and the guards and the lawyers and the executioner and the chaplain. As well as the condemned and the families. And so it's a look at something that we don't see. We just don't see it. And, the toll of that, of trying to bring some spiritual rest to someone that's facing a certain demise, it costs something to do that. It costs Chaplain Kendricks to do that. And It took a while to, you know, get that film off, if you know what I mean, to step back into life.
What about Larry Mills that's coming in the drama series Council of Dads from NBC? This is quite an experience for you as well.
Oh, Jim, it's such a wonderful character. I've been waiting 25 years to play this role. I think it's probably closer to me than anything that I've experienced, maybe ever, certainly in a long, long time, because he's flawed, but he's trying to do the next right thing. And he has two rules, you know, be as honest as you can and do the next right thing and be of service where you can be. And so it's a different turn for me from some of the characters I've played of late. And I admire him, you know, I admire his struggle. And his toolkit is rusty, and sometimes he's all elbows, but he'll show up, you know.
As you do for 46 years.
I'm not going to quit now.
No, you're in your prime, and the prime's been a very long time for our guest, Michael O'Neill. It's an honor to talk with you. Congrats on what you do and for staying the course. Michael, see you soon.
And thanks so much for letting me be with you.
And we thank you for joining us today. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Until tomorrow, thanks for listening. Stay tuned.